Joe Smith time on a Monday morning. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Joe. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, watched over in church, Sherwood Oaks yesterday, a couple services with my grandson performing with in the choir. That was
aww,
neat.
Aw, that's wonderful.
Nice Christmas show put on.
That is great.
And kind of kicked off the week. Got me in the Christmas spirit.
There you
good
go.
For you.
Very nice.
Got well done by all those kids out in Sherwood Oaks.
Very nice. And as we talk here on a Monday morning, we always get recapped on what happened on the past weekend, and we start always with the high schools. It's the Winter Sports Spotlight, and the wrestlers take center stage here on a Monday morning.
Well, I tell you, Greg Ratliff's Edgewood Mustangs dominated over the weekend, bringing back to Ellettsville the Columbus North Invitational crown, and doing it in unbeaten fashion, winning all five of its matches. Five individuals also capped off perfect days. Freshman Noah Gardner at 106. Here's a little kid that's not even 90 pounds, and he wins at 106. Junior Carson Deckard won at 126 in unbeaten fashion. Junior Denver Alot at 152, junior Damian Baumgartner at 160, and veteran senior Ty Robinson at 195. Congrats out to the Mustangs. Marty Hutzel's North Cougs were second in the invite. It's lone loss to the Mustangs, 40-30. Senior Casey Brock at 285 won all of his matches with pins, and veteran senior 170-pounder John Inman also went unbeaten, and senior Eric Sheets won all three of his matches as well. Mike Runyon, South Wrestlers, finished 3-2 at the tough Evansville Modern Day Six-Way. Senior Chase Dixon went 5-0 at 220 with three pins. Sophomore Noah Hunt at 120. Freshman Derek Blueball at 126, and senior Robert Pinkham at 145 all finished 4-1 in their weight classes. Also, non-reported, Dave Tanner's Swim Cougars and Divers, they're in our Monday spotlight, and for good reason. The North kids won the Columbus North Relays combined for a first time in Tanner's 18-year era at Bloomington North. The girls, who are having a terrific year unbeaten in duels, beat Columbus North for first time ever, beating Franklin Central, Columbus North, and Center Grove with junior Alicia DeMars in on three winning relays. The North girls won five total events, the boys three, and the fellas finished second to Columbus North, but they rolled up enough points to allow the Northsiders to walk off with the outright championship of the event. Job well done by the swimmers and divers at Bloomington North. Edgewood swept Owen Valley late last week in the pool. Boys lost only one event as Alex Pittsford had a hand in three event wins, 125-22. And the Mustang girls behind the Bryant sisters, Katie and Jade, they were each in on two event wins each. They helped with the depth as the girls won 91-69. Edgewood kicks off its week, joining Owen Valley over at Cascade a little later this evening in a three-way there. On the hardwood over the weekend, after losing to fifth-ranked Southport in a game that went right down to the buzzer on the airwaves Friday night, J.R. Holmes South Panthers got a career night 26 from sophomore Chance Coyle and seven rebounds. The South ended up the weekend 3-3 headed into this week. They blistered Decatur Central 76-49. Finally back home after a three-game road swing. South will be at home Friday night in our broadcast game alongside Terre Haute North in Conference Indiana play. Edgewood had his three-game winning streak snapped by number two-ranked Class A Bloomfield, who are still unbeaten, 57-47. Edgewood lost an early 15-point lead in this one, and they were outscored 20-3 in the fourth quarter. Dave Mahurin's Mustangs are 3-2 now. They got 17-8 from Braden Patton. Edgewood plays at North Putnam on Friday night. North got its first win of the year, and it's off to a 1-0 start in Conference Indiana play. They beat Perry Meridian Friday night on the road. They lost, but gave it a battle against fourth-ranked Evansville Wrights on the airwaves Saturday night, 73-62. How about the weekend that sophomore Musa Jallo had? 43 points and 24 rebounds. Two more double-doubles, continuing his outstanding play. North, who's 1-3, plays at Southport Friday night. In girls' hoop, Edgewood is 7-4. They're over in Eastern Heights tonight to take on the Lady T-Birds. Edgewood swept Cascade and Shackamack over the weekend, pushing the win streak out to 5 for Gary Sims' group. Larry Winter's South Panthers are 5-4 after winning at Castle, ending their 6-game winning streak. Sharice Honor with 11 points and 8 rebounds. Freshman Addie Blackwell and senior Megan Grabowski had 10 points each. Bloomington North starts its week 1-11. As we mentioned, first-team AP honors in football for junior linebacker Tommy Richardson of South. He was one of 5 Panthers off Mo Moriarty's football club to garner All-State recognition. Tommy joined by teammate Sam Helm, cornerback Hunter Worthen, quarterback Gavin Yeske, and wide receiver John Earl Rochelle Mann's honorable mention selections, all part of that sectional champion 11-1 squad last fall. Edgewood had 3 honorable mention All-State picks. Braden Patton on his way to Northern Illinois to play football. Jay Farley and Ian Coldren for Coach Jerry Bland. Well, mentioning football, Dave and Glass have a lot to talk about, football-related at the collegiate level as well as the professional level. They'll start things tonight at 6 o'clock in the zone, followed by in the red zone at 7 ahead of our Monday night matchup, as Miami will host the Giants of New York. Both are 5-7. A broadcast coverage with the kick here on the airwaves on a Monday night at 8:25.
Yeah, Colts were brutal yesterday, Joe.
That was terrible.
I don't know what else to say.
That was so painful, I fell asleep and didn't wake up until the game was over, thank goodness.
Well,
that's one way to beat it.
That, definitely put me in a deep sleep.
The Colts had the ball up 13-3 with about, a minute left. In the last, there was, at the two-minute warning, the next minute was unbelievably bad football. And the Colts were leading, though. That was the point. And they were outscored. They were up 13-3, Joe. So if I do my math right, they were outscored 48-3 to end the game.
Sounds right.
That's tough.
48-3 is 51. That's fine.
We know Bob Irsay would have not letting anybody have breakfast this morning. We'll see if Jim keeps his coolness. And what do you do? Are you going to fire everybody now? You're in first place. Going back to last week,
and Hasselbeck was injured again, so
that's
I
right.
don't know.
Well, you're tied for first. If you beat Houston this coming weekend.
New England did beat Houston last night, didn't they?
27-6, not even as close as the final score would indicate.
All right.
The Houston Texans come to town next Sunday. The Colts have already beaten them once. They beat them twice. That's the first tiebreaker. So it's not good. And who knows when Andrew Luck gets snuck back into things. Does this make him come back even quicker? Well, if he's got a hole in his kidney, I hope they take their time with all of that. Hoosiers are off this week after their jaunt with McNeese State on Saturday night. They have exams. They'll see Notre Dame at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Saturday, but we'll get wrapped up on the IU beat. Another good win for Terry Morin's ladies. That was good. So we'll talk about that coming up at 8:45.
Yeah, Terry, we're going to spotlight Dwayne Goldman's wrestlers.
The wrestlers.
Boy, I tell you what.
That's some streaks broken there.
Huh?
Yeah.
There they are in our spotlight. That's the lead story, my friend.
You're going to have to explain to me how they won. That's the, and I don't mean that in a...
the criteria?
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for that I couldn't figure out. So we'll do that at 8:45. Smitty, good morning.
Good morning again. Margaret.
Good morning, Joe. Uh-oh. So have you gotten your coffee?
Yeah, my coffee?
Got,
oh, it's
got
warm.
Your coffee.
Yeah, it's got nice and hot.
You're all set and ready to go?
Even remembered to turn it on at 5:30 this morning. Last week, I forgot that one.
Well, these things happen. Nobody about Joe.
That sounds tired.
They've been playing baseball since, the 1870s? And there's only been 23 perfect games, so... Yeah, I'm not expecting perfection. It's nice when it happens, makes headlines, but it's not. But we had a pretty close to perfect basketball game on Saturday night as Indiana ran over McNeese State. Got it. We'll get into those details here in a minute. Terry Morin had a good win as well. A dogfight with Samford. But winning dogfights, Joe, nothing wrong with that. But the wrestlers, wrestling's been our theme this morning. We're going to stick with it with the...
Stick with it.
Dwayne Goldman's Hoosiers big win on the weekend. We'll get us started on the IU beat here on a Monday morning.
Well, I tell you, veteran Hoosier wrestling coach Dwayne Goldman wanted his Hoosiers to get it. That was the Big Ten season opening match at number 20 Minnesota back on Friday night. Boy, did they. They got it. All right, 19-18, winning, snapping a 35-duel winless skid against the Big Ten. And in the process, they beat the Gophers for the first time in 47 years. Redshirt sophomore Luke Blanton's upset win over number 10 Jake Short at 149 keyed the win, his first ranked win of his young career. The Hoosiers won five matches. The senior Alonzo Shepherd had a pin at 133, and 11th ranked Nate Jackson continued his outstanding year. He won on a near major decision, 9-3 at 174, his sixth win in a row. Pins and decision points determined in the end. Indiana winning by criteria points, if you were wondering. What's that? Well, it's who you beat and by how much within the match. That figures into the equation. We call them specialty wins, pins, tech falls, major decisions, and by how much. Well, the Hoosiers took that win and then carried it over to you, Jim, on Sunday. As they moved to 4-0, they won a double duel, beating Eastern Michigan 25-9 and blank Manchester 56-0. Five different Hoosiers in with pins in that one. So a big weekend for Dwayne Goldman's wrestlers. Terry Morin's basketball women are 7-2 here at the exam break after winning in overtime Friday over Samford 65-56. They outscored the visitors 13-4 in overtime. Sophomore forward Amanda Cahill had 8 points in the extra period and posted her first double of the year, 19 points and 11 rebounds. As to no one's surprise, the most lopsided win of the year Saturday night, that 45-point blowout for Tom Crean's Hoosiers over McNeese State. James Flackman Jr. led five in double figures with 24. Indiana held the Cowpokes to 31% shooting. Now, the last three opponents have averaged just over 26% from the field. So hopefully the defense has been strengthened a bit, and they'll need that on Saturday. Sophomore Tim Priller, crowd favorite, as you know, in the hall. He completed the route, tying career highs in points and rebounds. Also had a career high 2 assists. Did all of that in the final 2 minutes. Indiana's 8-3. They'll get a stern test Saturday at 2 on ESPN against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, who are 7-2. Crossroads Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Footballers held their banquet at Hinkie's Hall of Champions over the weekend. Senior quarterback Nate Sudfeld winning the Anthony Thompson Most Valuable Player Award. He, along with the right guard, All-American Dan Feeney, and left side tackle Jason Spriggs, along with defensive end Nick Mangieri, Marcus Oliver, and Zach Shaw, named as the 2015 team captains, as head coach Kevin Wilson honored the seniors, handed out several awards on that special night. They'll continue practice this week for the Pinstripe Bowl coming up on the 26th against the Duke Blue Devils. Elsewhere, midfielder Tanner Thompson, third-team All-American. He repeats as an All-American, and also assistant coach Brian Mazenop. Nice award for Mays as he was garnered the Midwest Region Assistant Coach of the Year. By the way, collegiate soccer wrapped up on Sunday. Stanford won the College Cup, the NCAA Championship. They beat Clemson 4-0. In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6. In the Red Zone starts at 7, taking you up to our pregame coverage of the Monday night game. Couple of 5 and 7 clubs, Miami welcoming in the New York Football Giants. Broadcast coverage then with kickoff at 8:25 tonight.
Yep, Joe, and the Colts aren't going to give us much to talk about this evening. That's 51 last night, yesterday, and 45 the week before in Pittsburgh. That's too many. I can't add those up. That's too many on that. And we'll talk about the Colts. The good news is they're still in first place. The good news is they hold the cards because they host Houston coming up this Sunday. Houston lost last night to the Patriots. Both teams are 6-7. If the Colts beat the Texans in Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday, they will be 7-7 and have a 2-game lead on Houston. And then they've swept the season series, so they really can handle it in one game, strangely as it sounds.
But a loss sends it the other way.
It sure does. And Houston won't have the series. It'll be 1-1 there because the Colts have already beaten them. Yeah, they already beat them in Houston when Hasselbeck was quarterbacking there. So the Colts do have some ways to get out of jail. It's just who is going to be that quarterback. Matt Hasselbeck got lit up yesterday more than once. The offensive line is, I don't want to even say piecemeal. That's not fair to pieces or meals. The defense gives up 42 second-half points, and there's just not a lot of things to draw on, Joe. But it is the NFL. These guys do play for pay. Jobs are on the line, and it seems like the NFL pendulum swings a little quicker than anything else does, getting back on track.
See how the practice week goes.
Amen. Notre Dame won by 20 yesterday, 81-61. The Irish, you said, pose a challenge to the Hoosiers, which will be absolutely accurate.
And 8-2 now. So.
And
I think that's it. I might be right. Maybe 7-2.
I'm gonna look right now. We'll get it all. They're in the ACC.
Anyway,
don't forget Notre Dame is in the ACC, Joe. They're 7-2. You nailed it. They beat Loyola of Chicago 81-61. That's the same Loyola of Chicago who beat Creighton last weekend. So the transitive property of basketball flying through the friendly skies. So Notre Dame, again, solid team, scores a ton of points. Everybody knows that. A week of exams, Joe. What's the practice schedule like during a week like this? Obviously, with no one takes all, they're not in all the same classes, so that's got to be a juggling feat there, huh?
Yeah, it is, and it has been said, but I don't know what it is. They'll obviously be practicing at some point, this week, obviously. But he didn't lay that out. Tom didn't lay it out Saturday post game. So
we'll wait with.
Can't really comment on it.
No, there you go. So they'll get it done. I'll have to put it. Well, again, it's finals week. That comes first, and then Notre Dame. Is Notre Dame Indiana the second of two at Bankers Life or the opener?
Boy, you got me there, too.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I'll check those out. It's not hugely
important.
I
kind of forget if we ever played in an opening game. It would be Butler and Purdue,
I would think,
would play the second game.
We're at 2 o'clock.
I'm saying,
2 p.m. on Saturday.
We're the opener, yes.
That will be the opener. All right, sounds good. And so it'll be a quiet week on the basketball side of things because of the finals week. We'll have more football to talk about because, hey, it's bowl time. We haven't had a whole lot of bowl things to talk about, and we've got high school hoops coming up. This will be the first weekend in three where we haven't had a Friday-Saturday doubleheader.
And the first time we've been at home.
That's right.
Well, I take that I've been at home.
That you've been at home, yeah. Because you went to B&L.
Derry handled the Saturday night Cougar home game, so at least we snuck one in. Now we'll complete the circuit, and we'll do the same a week from tomorrow when we look at Edgewood for the first time, as they will host Sullivan on the 22nd, the same day that we welcome in Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw State, very nice. So that'll be your Crossroads Classic entree, last game before the Christmas holiday, and exciting times there, especially with the bowl game, Joe. So that you're gonna have a busy time here, my friend. We'll make sure your travel agent is ready to go and everything's on the up and up. What else are we missing in the world of sports that we need to know? We got it all covered.
You told guys me? Surely covered all of it.
Wow.
You guys
maybe.
Know
it's Monday.
Everything.
Maybe we do.
We
don't know as much as you think.
Oh, that's right. All right, Smitty, great job as always.
Alrighty,
we
guys.
Appreciate the time.
Hey, both of you have a great week, okay?
You too, Joe.
Yeah, we'll miss you this week with no hoops. We'll get caught up with you on Friday, though, for the big weekend preview.
Sounds good.